Amen. I want to thank our musicians this morning for assisting us in our worship. Our scripture reading this morning is drawn from the book of Genesis. I will be reading chapter 14, beginning at verse 17 and reading down through the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 14, beginning at verse 17. Hear now the word of God. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of everything, and the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me. Let Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre take their share." Thus ends the reading of God's word. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for your word, and we thank you that what we have here is more than just ancient history. But these words are inspired by your Holy Spirit, written down on these pages. And so, Father, we know that there is application here for us, and we pray that you would guide us in our understanding of these things. And once again, Father, we pray that you would use your word as that means of grace to accomplish your sanctifying purposes in us, to shape us into what you would have us to be. We pray now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As I said, I often feel a little bit disconnected when our elder Tom is not here this morning to assist me in the pulpit. But Tom, I want you to know, if you're online, I don't know if you're online or not, but we're praying for you and Cheryl this morning. And this morning I want to say, John, thank you. I know that Joyce is under the weather too, and she can't be with you, and your newborn baby is not with you, but I appreciate you coming up and lighting the Advent wreath for us. Anyway, you know, it was just several weeks ago, of course, that your wife gave birth to your fourth child. And most of us, we knew that we had heard through the grapevine, or not through the grapevine, through text messages and all that kind of stuff, that she had actually delivered. But we were waiting for the details for several days. I think you knew that. And finally, we heard word that, yes, she had delivered and everything was fine, and that you had just been waiting to determine what you were going to name her, little Phoebe. And so it's been a delight to actually meet her. And so sorry she can't be with us this morning, and Joyce as well. You know, that said, you know, we have people that have many different names here. We don't have anybody called Melchizedek. Nobody. I don't know if I've ever heard of anyone. John, you weren't thinking about that in case you had a son, were you? I'm not giving you suggestions.
No, well, you never know.
You never know. All right, well, anyway, wouldn't that be a surprise? But I've never, it might be something that you might hear in Africa, but I'm not sure I've ever heard anybody called Melchizedek here in America. But it's an unusual name, to say the least. At least for us. I mean, here we have names like Richard and William and Charles and John and Tom and so forth. Actually, I was named after both of my grandfathers. It's hard to be named before them, isn't it? But anyway, Thomas was my Harold Thomas Bridgman and Edwin Fuller Moses. Edwin is my middle name. Anyway, I'm getting off the subject. But Melchizedek is the combination of two Hebrew words. Melech, which means king, and Tzadik, which means righteousness. And so the king of righteousness, Melchizedek, Melech Tzadik. And here, this passage of scripture from chapter 14 of Genesis is really quite early on in God's dealings with Abram. He hasn't had his name changed yet to Abraham. And in chapter 12, God had spoken to Abram when he was still living in Haran. And he said, Abram, I want you to leave. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your people. I want you to leave your homeland and go to the place where I'm going to show you. And out of you will come a great nation. And that all nations on earth would be blessed through you. And so that happened just two chapters earlier. And so Abram did that very thing. He took his family and his possessions. He didn't have any children at that point in time, but his nephew went with him. And of course, nephew, and he brought his possessions and his family. And so there was tension there within the family. And so Abram said, Lot, you decide what portion of the land you want. And so Lot went down into the Dead Sea Valley there, and he settled in a region that was much more fertile, in the region of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it wasn't long after that before marauders had come from the region of Mesopotamia, and they came down, and they took the people hostage. And they took their possessions, and they were headed back to the region of Mesopotamia. And Abram decided that he was going to get his servants, and he was going to chase them down. And so this is exactly what he did. He went and he defeated the marauders who had come in and taken his nephew and his family and so forth and their possessions, and he came back. And here we find in chapter 14 that he returned from the defeat. And this fellow's name, I always stumble over this fellow's name, but anyway, and the kings who were with him. And so here the kings of Sodom, where Lot had come from, they went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's valley. And I went on the map, and I looked it up, did a Google search and so forth. And so many people believe that it was actually the Kidron Valley that's located between the city of Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. We don't know for sure, but apparently that there are many that believe that the Valley of Shaveh was that particular location. And when he returned, the kings had met him there, including Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, of course, was the king of Salem. And he came out, and he brought bread and wine with him and bestowed a blessing on Abram. Now, this fellow Melchizedek is only mentioned in a few short verses here in the book of Genesis. And so he may not seem very significant. And he shows up again, once in the Psalms, and then, of course, in the New Testament, we read about Melchizedek, and we'll be looking at that in just a moment. And so he may not seem very significant, and yet the very mention of his name in the Bible raises a lot of questions. Who was he? Was he originally from that area? Was he originally from Canaan? The Canaanites were not known as people who worshiped the Lord. Most of them were idolaters. You had the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Girgashites and on, all these different people, and they all worship their various and sundry deities. And so how did he know about Abram's God? Because of the blessing that he placed upon him. And the other question, of course, is then, why did Abram give him a tithe of the spoils, a tenth of the spoils that he had brought back from the war? And so all of these questions, we may wonder why he's even in the Bible. This morning, of course, is the first Sunday of Advent. And Throughout these 4 weeks of Advent, leading up to the celebration of Jesus' birth, of course, we're going to be taking a look at this one individual, Melchizedek, for these four Sundays. And so as we start this morning, there are several things, several questions I want for us to reflect on. Three questions. The first is, who was this man, Melchizedek? And secondly, my second question is, why his response? Why did he respond to Melchizedek in this way? And then lastly, what has this got to do with Advent? And so those are my 3 points this morning. First of all, of course, we read here that Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, came out with bread and wine, and he gave him a blessing. And Salem, many people believe that Salem, of course, is a variation of the longer term Jerusalem. And so you can see the word Salem in Jerusalem. And by the time of the Exodus, we know that Jerusalem, it wasn't an Israelite city in the early days. By the time of the Exodus, it was a Jebusite city. And this fella, Jabez, he was a descendant of Canaan, who was a descendant of Ham, who was a descendant of Noah after the flood. And they were not a people that were friendly to the Israelite people. And so later on, Joshua, when he went out and he fought against the Jebusites there in the city of Jerusalem, the king there, his name was Adonizedek. And so here you see Melchizedek, Adonizedek, which means the Lord. But I need to point out here that when you read that, it comes from the word Adonai. And so when we have that word Adonai, we translate it in our English Bibles with a capital L and a small e, small r, and small d to distinguish it from the Hebrew covenantal name for God, which is Yahweh. And that is all in capital letters. Most of you probably don't even take notice of these things if you're reading through the Bible in a year. But then, of course, it was during David's reign that David himself, after he had become king, and he went and fought against the Jebusites that were occupying the city of Jerusalem, and he defeated the Jebusites and took control of that city, and it became the capital of Israel. And eventually, with Solomon, the temple was built there. And yet we have this fellow Melchizedek, and so was he a Jebusite? He was called King of Righteousness. And he bestowed a blessing upon Abram. Not only that, but we're told that he was a priest by David in one of his psalms, Psalm 110, which you heard this morning when Patience read the scriptures for the lighting of the Advent wreath. And so what did this involve? His being a priest, offering sacrifices, that was typical of the priesthood. But we don't know because there's nothing there to indicate. But typically, a priest serves some religious or spiritual function. And what we do know is that when Abram returned, it was Melchizedek that came and brought bread and wine. Probably figured that Abram was hungry after going and chasing down the marauders and he needed nourishment. We don't know, but he brought bread and wine. But even more importantly, he gave Abram a blessing. And so we read that, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." But I want you to take note of what he says about God, that he's the possessor of heaven and earth. And so he recognized that there was something unique about Abram's God, in contrast to the various deities that of the Canaanites in the land. And so the question that we have before us is, did Melchizedek know Abram's God? And so who was Melchizedek? Was he a theophany, that is a pre-incarnate vision of Christ? And that's the real question that we have before us. But this leads us to our second question, and why Abram's response? You see, the main thing, of course, is that Abram gave to Melchizedek a tenth of the spoils of war. And why did he do that? He wasn't obligated to share these things. As far as I know, he was under no obligation. It wasn't Melchizedek that was taken captive. It wasn't his possessions that were taken by the marauders. But we see Melchizedek in contrast to the king of Sodom here. And of course, the king of Sodom was, his people were taken. I don't know if the king himself was taken. There's no indication, at least from what I found in the scriptures in my studies. But here, the king of Sodom had come to Abram and he says, give me the persons, but you take the goods for yourself. But then Abram's response there, in contrast to how he responded to Melchizedek, was that Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Lord God, Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. He uses the same terminology that Melchizedek uses here. I have lifted my hand to God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And then he says here that he essentially had made a vow that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you say I have made Abram rich. It seems that what the king of Sodom was offering was more generous than what Melchizedek had given. He just gave him bread and wine and gave him a blessing. And here, in essence, the king of Sodom is, you take the possessions. I just want the people back, the people that belong to me. But yet we wonder, is there more to it than that? Was this king of Sodom being altruistic? Or was he being opportunistic? And I think there's an indication here in the text of Scripture. Because you see, Abram's response to the king of Sodom was really quite frank. You know, Abram said here that he said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Lord Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you say I have made Abram rich. I mean, he could have been a little more gracious and said, well, that's very kind of you, king of Sodom. Very thoughtful. Maybe we'll get together and have coffee someday, but I'm going to pass on the goods. No, he was much more frank than that. And yet here we have that, shortly after God had called Abram, and you know that Abram, of course, he had come from a family background where his family were not worshipers of the true God. They were worshipers of Mesopotamian deities. And God had called Abram separately. And so I believe that it has something to do with Abram's spiritual identity and where his loyalties really lie. A few years earlier, of course, you know, Abram had heard God's voice to leave his family and his friends and to leave his land and go to a different land. But here was Abram. And remember what happened to his nephew Lot when Lot had gone down into that region of Sodom and Gomorrah there and had lived with them for a time and had began to adapt to their culture, began to adapt to their lifestyle, as it were, although he hadn't given in to the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. But it's very likely that the king of Sodom felt like he had something to gain from Abram. Because Abram's response here, he says, lest you say that I have made Abram rich. I believe there's more at stake than just the spoils of war. I believe that it has to do with Abram's identity. And for Abram, you see, a line had to be drawn. But we might ask the question, well, and this is my third point, what's he got to do with Advent? Or what does all this have to do with Advent? This, of course, is the first Sunday of Advent. And King David, looking back on this event, at one point in Psalm 110, here he makes this very point, where he says, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind that you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." What was David thinking at that point? What this tells us, of course, is that something more is going on. And so we turn to the New Testament. We turn to the book of Hebrews. And here the author of Hebrews speaks more about Melchizedek than any other place that we find in the Bible. And how Melchizedek prefigured Jesus in many ways as the King of Righteousness. Melchizedek, there's no genealogy recorded for him. Jesus, of course, has a genealogy, but it's not like anybody else's genealogy that we know. But primarily, what the author of Hebrews focuses on is the priesthood of Jesus and the priesthood of Melchizedek. You see, the Old Testament really is the unfolding promise of redemption. For 2,000 years, the descendants of Abram waited for that promise to be fulfilled. Charlene was referring to that in her children's message this morning. And finally, late one night in a sheep pen, just a few short miles from where Abram first received a blessing from Melchizedek, there in the little town of Bethlehem. And 33 years later, our King of Righteousness rode into that Jebusite city on the back of a donkey. And then 5 days after that, Jesus was nailed to a cross overlooking the valley of Shaveh. Jesus came to fulfill his priestly duties by offering not the blood of bulls, goats, or lambs, but his own blood for you and for me. And so the question for us is, how do we respond to our Melchizedek? Abram identified with Melchizedek and not the king of Sodom. The question for us is, where is our identity? Is it in Jesus, or is it in the world? And what difference does that make for our lives today? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for the promise of redemption. We thank you for the promise of redemption that begins even with Adam and Eve in the garden and traces down throughout all of biblical history until it finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that we have that promise as an anchor for the soul, as the author of Hebrews reminds us, that you are a faithful God, even though we have not been a faithful people, that you are the God who has sent your Son to pay the price for our sin on the cross. And so, Father, we thank you for the fulfillment of that promise in our Lord Jesus, and we pray this in his name. Amen.